Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Park Salon, Vancouver Island, with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
My message is titled, Jesus Revealed. And I want to talk about the life of Jesus and the light of Jesus. The life and the light. And before we dig into the message, I wanted to ask you a question. Has something ever happened to you in life where at the time you weren't sure that it was a big deal, but later on you realized how important it was, that it was part of a series of events? I know I have, and I just wanted to share really quickly about my first date with Karen. And I was joking that I better not come up with notes for this part or it would be really bad, but it was our first official date, and it was only 20 minutes because Karen was dropping kids off and going up somewhere, and I was driving down. We were going to walk at the beach, and my stomach was in so big a knot. It was a giant knot, and I was like, how does anyone in the world ever date, like ever? Like, this is crazy. Anyway, so we got to the beach, and it was wonderful. Just instant connection. We held hands. We had to say goodbye almost right away. It seemed like 2 minutes. And I went home that night, and I was like, wow, I think life is different for me. It's really different. Different, but good. So I'm not trying to compare the events in my life with what's happening in this passage in John. Not at all. But this passage in John is a piece, and it gives us information, part of a bigger picture, a bigger story. There's a sequence of events, a story that unfolds as we move through Lent and into Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is a love story. In John, this is a love story. And it's not a trite, contrived love story. Sorry, Hallmark Christmas movies, kind of throwing you under the bus there. It's not that kind of story. It's deeper, so much more powerful. It's a love story where the central figure hangs bloody and beaten on a cross because Jesus was willing to go to the utmost lengths to rescue a lost and fallen humanity. In Ephesians 3:18, we read about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I was reflecting on that. Do I really understand that? I understand that in my head. But do we really understand it in our heart? Has it sunk in? Does it affect what we do day to day, knowing that we have the love of Jesus available to us? Do we get it? Do we understand? Or, as we'll see later, are we part of that group of people that just didn't really realize what was happening? They didn't really understand. The love of Jesus sets us free. We're told, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. It's a different kind of freedom. It's true freedom. The love of Jesus gives us an identity. We are children of God. We are released from condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's in Romans 8. And in this passage in the Gospel of John, Jesus predicts his death. So in verse 23, we read, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Let's look at that language, especially the word glorified. That stuck out for me. What a different word to describe death. I don't think I've heard that in any other context. Glorification. Marianne May Thompson, in her commentary on John, expresses it this way. Crucifixion was considered dishonorable and shameful. But in John's gospel, the cross brings glory or honor because the cross expresses God's love for the world. Jesus also explains that his death is necessary. In verse 22, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And in the book God Among Us, Raymond Bystrom comments, after Jesus' death, there is resurrection and multiplication. If Jesus did not die, there would be no life for others. Jesus' death was necessary so that we could experience eternal life. And Jesus' death on the cross was the plan from the very beginning. Jesus says in verse 27, "It was for this very reason I came." This is why he came. He is revealing this now. He's explaining about what will happen and the purpose, and this is why he has come. And Jesus knows that this is going to be a difficult, heart-wrenching death. Not just physically, although the physical pain was tremendous, but also emotionally, as the Father turns away from him. And Jesus is aware that all this will happen. "Now my soul is troubled." My soul is troubled. We worship a God who understands pain, who understands what it means to be troubled to your very core. But Jesus submits. He submits to what is going to happen. And he says, "Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name." This is the story, God's amazingly true story about Jesus' love. Many of us have heard this passage, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the life of Jesus, a life of love for you, for me, a life of laying down, of dying, of sacrificing his life for our sins. Let's take a few moments and look at the light of Jesus. So we've talked about his life. Let's talk about his light. In verses 35 and 36, we read, "Then Jesus told them, 'You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light.'" What can we learn from this image of light? I've chosen three things to highlight. Light illuminates. Light reveals the truth of a situation. When you're walking around in the light, you can see where you're going. you can see what is there and also what's not there. Lies, on the other hand, they rely on darkness, on deception, misinformation. When you walk in the dark, you can't see where you're going. And lies are not from God. They are from the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. That's what Jesus called the devil in John 8:44. Jesus speaks the truth. Jesus brings light. The power of Jesus brings light. The name of Jesus brings light. The presence of Jesus brings light. Light and life. Live in that light. Live in the light of Jesus. And we see from this passage that there was not a full understanding. There was not a clear understanding of what Jesus would do. When we look back before this passage in verse 16, and here this is referring to Old Testament prophecy, because Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament messianic prophecy. And we read, "At first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him." I think it would have increased their faith even more. Like, wow, after he wrote, he actually told us. He told us we can recall these events and see the sequence, and now we have understanding. So at this time, there's a lack of understanding. And in verse 28, we read that God the Father actually spoke from heaven. So Jesus said, "Father, glorify your name." And then there was a response from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And it says in verse 29, "The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him." So even here, there's confusion. There's not a clarity. Oh, that was God. That was God speaking to Jesus and declaring that what was going to happen was part of the plan. No, well, the thunder angel? So there's not full understanding. And later on, the crowd asks, "Who is this Son of Man?" But I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to take the plank out of my own eyes. So how many times have I not understood or acted on spiritual truth? How many times have I failed to live out the truth of Jesus in my life? Father, forgive me. Father, we need your grace and your mercy. Light illuminates. Light overcomes darkness. What a powerful truth. How reassuring to know that light overcomes darkness. If you were in a big field, you just had a small flashlight or candle, even that tiny amount of light would pierce into the darkest night. In the beginning of John's gospel, in chapter 1, John opens declaring that Jesus is the Word. Let me read this to you. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The darkness cannot overcome the light. And in John chapter 12, we read, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, and Jesus is speaking here, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This was all part of the plan. Jesus died to drive out the enemy. Light overcomes darkness. And Jesus is the one who drives out the enemy. And take note of who the enemy is. I think this is particularly relevant now. The enemy is not people. Even the people that I disagree with, those kinds of people, they're super annoying. But they are not the enemy. The prince of this world, the devil, that's the enemy. And he will be driven out by the power of Jesus Christ. Light overcomes darkness. And we read in Revelation, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And we know the end of the story. That has also been revealed to us. We know the final outcome, where Jesus comes again in power. Amen. Thank you for that. Light illuminates, light overcomes darkness, and light transforms. When we walk in the light, we are transformed. Jesus Christ transforms lives. Lives are changed through the power of Jesus. We become something new. John 12:36 says, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Children of light. I love that image, because children are honest, transparent, particularly young children. And children need parents. We need God. We are dependent. It doesn't say we'll become fully functioning, mature adults of light. It says we'll become children of light. And daily God will provide and sustain us. There's a sense of time here. And this whole passage, as I was reading and studying, it has a sense of immediacy and urgency. Here are some of the phrases. The hour has come. Now is the time for judgment on this world. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Believe in the light while you have the light. Jesus is saying something. He's saying that now is the time. There's a sense of immediacy. Don't put off your choices about Jesus, about walking in the light. Don't wait until you think you have a better time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.